Those readings are very rich readings, but I'm not going to speak about them today. Instead, I want to speak about the Eucharist. And I choose to do that because I know we're moving towards the time when we're going to be implementing the new Roman Missal. And not that I'm really that concerned about whether people will learn the words. That'll happen. I'm not worried about that. But I think this is an opportune time for us to reflect upon what is the Mass. Those of you who received that book at Easter time about rediscovering Catholicism by Matthew Kelly, you might remember that he said, when 70% of the Catholics in the United States do not go to Mass on a given Sunday, we're in trouble. And so I think it's time we reflect as much as we can on the meaning of the Eucharist. I want you to imagine something with me this morning. Imagine the most wonderful meal that you can think of. I don't mean just the food. You know, good food, yes. Good drink, yes. But even much more, the fellowship with the people at the meal. Maybe it's a meal with your family. Maybe it's a meal with your best friends. But one of those meals that you just don't want it to be over with. You know, after you've eaten and you drank, you just sit there and talk and visit, and that there's a real sense of communion, of union with the people around you. Imagine a meal like that. That's really an image of what God has wanted for you, for each and every one of us, from all eternity. God wants that communion, that union with us. God wants us to be caught up in a bond of love with Him that will last for all eternity. Let's go to the book of Genesis for a moment. That very familiar story of Adam in the garden. And what does God say to Adam? Look, you can eat of any tree in this garden. There's only one of which you should not eat. I'll talk about that in a minute, that one. But look at that banquet that God sets before Adam. That's even before Eve comes on the scene. And the other thing we pick up in that story is that God would, it says, walked in the garden in the cool of the evening, as if Adam and God could sit down and have a visit. That sense of communion, of union. Now, the sin wasn't so much because they ate an apple off of a tree. The sin was described very well in what the serpent says to Adam. He says, eat it, and you will be like gods. You will know for yourself what is right and wrong. That's the sin. They grasped at being gods. They didn't just want to be in communion with God. They wanted the prerogatives of being God. And there is where they fell. And yet God didn't stop with that. Yes, they left the garden. They left that wonderful banquet. But throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, there's images of banquet. Let's go to the Exodus. Remember that story about the Passover and how the Jews had to mark their doorposts with the blood of the Lamb? But what did they have to do to observe the Passover? They had a meal. All the family was to gather for this meal. And that wasn't just once. They were to do that every year, year in and year out, to have that family gathering. Again, that banquet, that sense of communion. Let's go to Isaiah 25 for just a moment. It's a passage that many of you know if you've been much to funerals. It's often read. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. Referring to Mount Sinai, the place where Jerusalem was, the place of the temple. If we go to the New Testament, first of all, where was Jesus laid as a baby? In a manger, a symbol of food again. And what was the name of the town? Bethlehem. It translates house of bread. And when Jesus starts his ministry, what does he do? He has meals. He sits down at table with good people and with sinners. Matthew, remember the tax collector. He goes to Matthew's tables and says to him, follow me. And what does he do? He goes to Matthew's house and has a banquet. Saints and sinners are again welcome. He's at the Pharisee's house with a banquet. And what does he do on the night before he dies? He gathers his apostles, those chosen 12, and he has a banquet with them. And he gives them not just bread and wine, but he gives them his very body, his very blood. He shares his life with them. He wants to enter into that communion with them. He wants union with them. He wants union with you and I. He wants that union to be somehow now and as a foretaste of what we'll have for all eternity. That's Eucharist, being nourished with the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more than that going on here. Notice in the Bible, anytime there is a covenant, there's also a sacrifice. In a way back with Abraham, God makes a covenant with him, and then there's animals slaughtered, they're offered to God. Remember that story that comes up in the liturgy every 3 years? Kind of a strange one about having to slaughter those animals, lay half of it here and half over there, and God as a flaming torch passes through them. It's a covenant. God's saying, if I don't keep my commitment to you, may I be like them. Remember what happens when God makes another covenant with Abraham. Take your son, your chosen one, and offer him as a holocaust. And Abraham does it, or at least he prepares to do it. He's ready to kill his son, and the angel stops him. But the point was, he was ready to give up everything to do the will of God. And there was a sacrifice, there was a ram. You know, in a world of sin, we're always going to have sacrifice. Because if we are going to do the will of God, if we are going to enter into communion with God, we have to let go of something. And that letting go is always painful for us. We have to let go of all that is not opposed to God, or that is opposed to God. And so that sacrifice is essential to our faith. We must let go of something in order to get that great gift, communion with God for all eternity. At the Last Supper, Jesus anticipates that sacrifice. It is thy body given for you. It is my blood poured out for you. It is by his very act of sacrificing himself that Jesus is able to offer to them the gift of his body and blood. And that is the gift he offers to you and I at every Eucharist. That body poured out, or that body given, that blood poured out, He wants to enter into communion with us, union with us. He wants to transform us. We too have to enter that sacrifice. How do we do that? The offering of ourselves. We symbolize that best at the offertory of the Mass. When that bread and wine are brought forward, when the money that we have collected comes forward, that symbolizes the gift of ourselves. Because what we give is part of our labors. We give ourselves. And then, during the Eucharistic prayer, we strive to join ourselves with the offering of Christ. The Second Vatican Council called for full and active conscious participation in the liturgy. That includes singing, responding to prayers, and all that. But far more important is that you and I are very consciously offering ourselves to the Father in union with Christ, offering those sacrifices that you and I have to make in life, those things that we have to do in order to give ourselves to God, the things we have to do to serve our God. We offer all of that in union with Christ Jesus so that our little sacrifices can be part of that great sacrifice. You know, do you ever think about how measly the bread and wine is that we bring in? Hardly anything for, you know, 800-900 people. And the wine, not much. Yet God takes that little bit and he transforms it. And that's what God does with every gift we give him. He takes that little bit that we offer and he transforms it into something much greater. But we have to give our little bit so that God can take that, transform that. That's what the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fishes is all about. That little bit Jesus takes, transforms, and feeds the multitude. What we give, God can use to transform the world. This is Eucharist, my brothers and sisters. Uniting ourselves, giving our little bit, uniting it to Christ Jesus, and letting him transform it, magnify it, and make it a gift that enriches the world. At each celebration of the Eucharist, that is what we are about.